Hey, everybody. This week, we're doing Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory.
Hit the music.
We'll begin with a spin, traveling in a world of my creation. What we'll see will defy explanation. If you want to view paradise, simply look around and view it. Anything you want to do it, want to change the world, there's nothing to it.
Hey everybody, I'm Michael Flaherty.
I'm Colleen Flaherty.
This week,
this is Flaherty's on Films, a podcast where we talk about films.
That's right. This week we're talking about Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, made in 1971.
Michael, what's it about?
Well, I'll read a description. A poor but hopeful boy seeks one of the five coveted golden tickets that will send him on a tour of Willy Wonka's mysterious chocolate factory.
Michael, have you seen this film before? Because this is a film you wanted to discuss.
I'll explain that. I wanted to discuss it because it's a movie that everybody knows. It's a classic, but it's also weird as shit, as everybody is aware. So I was like, that would be interesting for discussion. That was my whole thought. I don't know if I've ever sat in a room besides this last weekend. I don't know if I've ever sat down and be like, all right, now it's time for me to watch Willy Wonka. I don't think I've ever had that thought before. Until now, until today, or until last week.
How sad for you.
So, I mean, I knew all the bits, though. I knew all the lines. I knew all the characters' names. I knew the songs, mostly. I knew the good lines. But it was
you
nice
knew
to...
all the lines? Some of the lines really surprised me.
Well, I knew a lot of the lines. I mean, I knew all the famous lines, what I'm trying to say. I'm very familiar with the film, as I believe most people are. Did that satisfy the question?
It did. I also saw this movie a lot as a kid, I guess.
A lot as a kid. Do you remember actually sitting down and be like, time to watch Willy?
I mean, I feel like I have watched it from beginning to end. And here's why. I think I watched it with some cousins of mine and we would get a bunch of candy to watch it.
Hell yeah.
I feel like we did that more than once.
Probably. This is probably the best candy movie.
It made me want to eat some candy.
Isn't there a Pixar film or a DreamWorks film about candy?
I don't know.
There's Bee Movie where there's a lot of honey.
Chocolat.
That also makes me want to eat
Johnny
candy.
Depp, he played Willy Wonka in the later film.
Yup. That was
so
a fun connection.
Just making connections, man. I'm fucking IMBD here.
What was I saying? By the way, this movie... So I think this is actually not a terrible pick.
In Wreck-It Ralph, he goes to a candy-themed video game.
Yes.
Go ahead.
So it's funny because you're like, people are aware of this movie even if they've never seen it. Like, they probably know a lot of the bits. Some of the movie's been memeified a bit.
For our older listeners, what does memeified mean?
I know there is a famous meme of Gene Wilder putting his head in.
I'm so old. I'm 105. What is a meme?
It's a little picture you share with captions you put in. It's like you focus.
Just call it a picture.
Michael,
I'm 95. Just call it a picture.
When they had a caption contest and people would write in funny captions, it's like that.
Call it magic paper, like I call it. I don't understand pictures.
Anyway, how weird is it that this movie is so popular and is sustained over time? Because it's a really weird fucking movie. I love it.
So we talked about it, like our actual thoughts about the film.
Yeah. Well, no, I just think that's weird. That was an observation. That was a long pause.
Clayne, what do you think of the film?
Were you just soaking that in?
Loving it. Taking a bath of that silence. Clayne, what do you think about the film Willy Wonka?
I liked it so much more than I remember. I thought I would just be like, oh, that's a weird, fun movie from my childhood. And then it surprised me. And I'll tell you why later. But what did you think of it?
Also enjoyed it. It's a lot funnier than I thought it would be. And when you think about Willy Wonka, you're just like, oh, it's so weird. But it's like, if you just turn off your brain, it's funny and it's sweet. If you don't really think about it, it's sweet and it's just nice. And so I liked it.
Yeah, it's very palatable. I'm surprised you liked it so
nice
much. Nice
fucking food pun, man. Palatable.
Nice, yeah. Cause,
well, all I got is this podcast. Movie is sweet. Sorry, I'm keep interrupting you.
You have come out on this podcast as anti-slavery, so I thought that might get in the way of your enjoyment of the film, but...
No, again, you got to turn off your brain.
All right.
Like, really, it's giving the child the factory? Really, there is slavery? Like, just don't think about these things.
Yeah, why don't we both turn our brains and go to the real brain of this podcast?
Yeah, turn on our brains for our next segment. Bam!
Time for Sam. This is the part of the show where Big Brain Sam comes on and tells us some cool
facts. She's got a big brain.
What is that?
I don't know.
Is that a voice? Is that an impression?
His brain is so big. Look at that big old brain of hers.
I don't get the bit.
I don't know. Just being fun.
Well, okay. It's a little disheartening then that my most mind-blowing fact I learned is that his name isn't Ronald Dahl.
Oh, yeah. It's
Roald Dahl.
It's Roald Dahl. I've called him Ronald my whole life.
R-O-A-L-H?
L-D.
Oh, Roald. You guys aren't saying the D.
I said Roald.
No, you said Roald. I'll play it back.
Okay, so in 1964, Roald Dahl published his children's novel, Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. The story was partially inspired by Dahl's childhood, where chocolate companies were incredibly secretive and competitive, using spies to get each other's recipes.
So that's a real thing that happened?
Apparently. They would like have spies that would go into the others and pretend to be an employee to get like secrets. But then also one of the largest companies, Cadbury, would even send chocolates to schools to have the students try them out and give their opinions on them.
Hold on. Can I just say one thing? I was just trying to think of what I'd be called if I was a chocolate factory spy, and I would be Coco Incognito.
I love that name.
If you want to think of your own at home, go ahead. Mail it in.
Sally Smarty.
That's good, too.
Okay, so, I have to address the elephant in the room. Sorry, guys. When the story was originally published, the Oompa Loompas were described and drawn as African pygmies. Cool. It's not an incredible leap to instantly compare the Oompa Loompas to black slaves. Hmm. However, when groups such as the NAACP complained, Dahl insisted the comparison never occurred to him. He would revise the book in 1973, and the second edition would change the Oompa Loompas into white hippies.
Honestly, to give him credit, a lot of people today, when you'd be like, hey, that's kind of racist, change it. They're like, oh, it's not racist, so I'm going to keep it the same way forever. So that's kind of cool that he'd be like, oh, it's racist, I'll just change
it. We don't know if he was like, oh, okay, I hear you, I'll change it.
But I can just pretend that he did it right away.
Sure.
Because he did do it eventually.
It does seem like he was very understanding. And
I do think it's funny that he'd be like, oh, never occurred to me. Like, really?
But like,
yeah.
The bar is low. I mean, let's encourage right. that direction.
That's true, Michael. I agree with that. Have you guys ever read Roald Dahl books? They're fucking weird.
I've read one Roald Dahl book.
Charlie and the Chocolate.
I've read this book.
I read like The Witches and Matilda and James the Giant Peach. They're weird. They are creepy ass books.
Yeah.
You also though have to take into consideration at what time this book came out. This book came out in 1964. We were in the middle of civil rights.
We were in the era of Coco Incognito. I gotta bring that back somehow.
When I was talking to my friend David, he said it's sort of a tradition of children's literature to just be super fucking weird, like kind of the Alice in Wonderland thing. So he thinks that he would base it more on that.
Well, family and friends have argued that since in one of Dahl's first drafts of the book, Charlie was black, Dahl could not possibly be racist.
That checks out.
Checks out.
I think it's important, especially in today's climate, to say yes, the original Charlie and the Chocolate Factory was very racist. Yeah. I'm saying it.
Okay.
Well.
Moving on. It was a beloved children's book, and one day director Mel Stewart's 10-year-old daughter suggested he read the story and make it into a movie. Stewart would bring the idea to his friend, producer David Walper. In one of those serendipity-like moments, Walper was in talks with Quaker Oats Company about how to promote their new candy bar. Although they had no experience in the film business, Quaker Oats agreed to buy the rights to the book and to finance the movie with the goal of promoting their now-named Wonka candy bar.
So, that's stupid. That's a stupid way to promote something, because films are really expensive. And they usually don't have a good return unless they do.
Counterpoint, right? I want a Wonka bar right now because of this movie.
I mean, I guess what I mean is it's a gamble.
50 years later. Oh, yeah, it's a gamble.
I mean, think of how often people talk about Reese's Pieces with E.T. Like, it's not a bad idea, actually.
No, I mean, I think nobody... Okay, if I was an exec at Quaker Oats and someone gave me the script to this movie and they're like, won't this be a great way to promote my candy bar? I would say you're fucking dumb and all of you are fired because this is a terrible idea. Now, I would be wrong. Fine. But come on. That's crazy that that happened.
Was the book very successful?
The book, yes.
So you mean you don't even need the script. You just say, hey, it's a movie based on the book and here's how much money it made.
I guess. Maybe I'm overthinking it.
Yeah.
Yes. Since this movie was part of a promotional campaign, the title was changed to Willy Wonka the Chocolate Factory to include the chocolate bar's name in the title.
Good thinking.
For the new title role, many famous names were thrown around, including Eric Idle, Fred Astaire, John Cleese, and Joel Grey. However, when Gene Wilder walked into the audition, Stewart knew he was Willy Wonka before Wilder even spoke. After the audition, Stewart chased Wilder down the hall and told him he was Willy Wonka no matter what.
Sorry, your list of names, did it have Eric Idle in it?
Yes.
That would have been good. I would have loved Eric Idle as Willy Wonka.
I think the other Monty Python guy, John Cleese, he would have definitely done a very different take that I would have been interested in.
Apparently, I think it was 6 of the Monty Pythons, right? 6 of them?
Maybe.
Yeah, but one of them is an American animator, so he probably wouldn't.
Okay, so I heard that 5 of them auditioned, but they were deemed not to be internationally successful enough.
That's fair in the 70s, I guess. Yeah, that makes sense. Gene Wilder, is this like before Blazing Saddles? Probably, 71?
Yeah.
But he's pretty famous.
So after the audition, Stewart chased Wilder down the hall and told him he was Willy Wonka no matter what. Walper, the producer, was reportedly furious. He liked Wilder, but he still had to negotiate Wilder's pay. And knowing you are that loved is a great bargaining chip. Wilder was excited to take on the role, but he did have one requirement before he would sign on. He insisted that Wonka enter the film with a limp. And then, when it looks like he's about to fall over, Wonka would somersault up again. According to Wilder, quote, from that time on, no one knows if I'm lying or telling the truth.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Filming took place from August to November in 1970 in Munich, Germany. Wonka's chocolate factory was actually a gaswork factory that is still standing.
Oh, cool.
The most famous set was probably the chocolate room. About 1/3 of the room was edible, although the flower teacups that Wonka eats were wax. Wilder would chew it until they called cut and then spit it out.
Very funny. It was convincing. Thought he ate them.
Yep.
The river was just dyed water, although cocoa powder and cream were added to make it thicker. Reportedly, it smelled and tasted awful.
I bet.
13-year-old Denise Nickerson, who played Violet, had to be turned into a giant blueberry. She had to stay in her blow-up suit all day and be periodically rotated to keep her blood circulating.
Jesus.
About 2 days after filming this scene, Nickerson was in school when another student noticed her skin was turning blue.
She's turning Violet! Okay, sorry.
It, It turns out the dye they used on the film had entered her pores and was now coming back out, and her face was blue for 36 hours.
Ah. Can you imagine?
Oh, jeez.
You're a 13-year-old girl and you're turning blue, and you're like, is this me forever?
Apparently, the two girl actresses both had crushes on the boy who played Charlie.
Can I just say I had a blue, I'm blue, dava dee dava die joke in me, but I couldn't quite get it out there.
Oh, you tried, man.
Sorry.
So as this was a musical, there are songs throughout the film. However, only one song takes its lyrics directly from the book. Your question of the week is which song takes its lyrics from the book?
It's the danger flowing the in the boat when he really
Is that a song?
Yeah. Well, because I read the book.
Is that on the soundtrack?
Well, that's right from the book. Is that right, Sam?
Well, yeah, I wrote this question before I realized you had read the book. Yeah, it's The Wondrous Boat Ride or the rowing song.
Singing. Oh, I guess he does. Is it raining? Is it pouring?
Is the danger flowing?
I guess that's a song.
Apparently, he played it so intense that the other actors actually thought he was going crazy.
I mean, I thought so as an audience member 50 years later.
Yeah, man.
By the end of filming, all the other children were gone. So Peter Ostrom, who played Charlie, and Wilder would often eat lunch together. Aww. And they would finish those lunches by sharing a chocolate bar on the way back to set.
How sweet.
That's very cute. Sorry, I just think the guy saw Gene Wilder is like, you are it. Makes me think he had a very specific idea of what this movie would be. Because no one else would play it like that.
No.
And no one else would want.
I don't know, man. I think Eric Idle could have brought it.
I think Eric Idle would have been goofier. He would have been funnier. But I don't think he could play as straight as Gene Wilder.
Eh, we'll see. We'll never see.
That's my thing.
Willy Wonka was released on June 30th, 1971. The film had a budget of $3 million, which I think is like $19 million now, to give you an idea, and would only make $4.5 million at the box office.
Oh, no.
Once again, this is a story of how VHS and TBS saved a movie. In the 1980s, with Wonka being played constantly on TV and with video rentals becoming a thing, new generations of fans were introduced to the story, and it turned into the cult classic we know now. It is actually ranked, it's considered one of the cult classic films. So in my mind, I always grew up thinking it was just like a classical film, but because of its history of failing at the box office and then finding love through the other means, it's considered a cult classic.
Okay.
Is like Shawshank Redemption, is that also considered cult because it was not successful?
I guess it would be.
But weird. That was like nominated for an Oscar and it's a Stephen King novel. I don't know. Maybe.
So this movie was nominated for an Oscar.
Yeah, but not a real one.
Best original score.
That's an Oscar.
You know
you
what
do
beat
it?
It?
You get
Fiddler
that Oscar.
On the Roof. Yeah.
Oh, Fiddler on the Roof is much better score. that's a well-deserved feat to feed.
In 2005, a remake retitled Charlie and the Chocolate Factory was made.
We should watch Fiddler on the Roof next. I love that movie.
It's a great movie. Before its release, the new movie, a new website appeared called Say No to Grandpa Joe.
Oh.
It listed every reason why Grandpa Joe is the worst. And now there is even the I Hate Grandpa Joe from Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory Facebook group with over 20,000 members.
That's very funny.
I want to be a member.
I thought you would appreciate that. And my final fact for you today. The kids who played the five ticket winners have stayed in touch over the years. Only one of them, Veruca, would go on to be continue acting. She's been in mostly like British TV shows. The only film that Peter Ostrom was in was Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. He played Charlie, obviously.
He's a farmer, right?
He would retire young and he would become a cattle veterinarian.
Oh.
In 2016, Gene Wilder sadly passed. An Austrian changed his Twitter profile to say, former child actor, veterinarian, inherited a chocolate factory on the 29th of August, 2016.
Aww. Very sweet.
That's so cute.
I think Gene Wilder hated the new movie. That was bam, time for Sam.
Gene Wilder was correct.
I mean,
I think I saw that in theaters.
It was fine, right? Just weird.
Yeah, but it wasn't like good.
Oh, well, that's a problem.
Yeah. What do we do now?
Let's go to our next segment, which we call Critics Corner, and where we hear what the critics have to say about this fantastic film.
All right,
film.
I'll start.
Okay.
Probably the best film of its sort since The Wizard of Oz. It is everything that family movies usually claim to be, but aren't. Delightful, funny, scary, exciting, and most of all, a genuine work of imagination.
Oh, I love that.
Robert, I just imagine SpongeBob doing that.
Imagination.
Oh, this is Roger Ebert.
This next review is by Traveler, who's an Amazon reviewer. It sounds kind of, what's the word I'm thinking of? Bohemian? I don't know.
Ooh, I like that word.
All right. This is seriously sick and weird film. I thought it was for children. Adults certainly won't like it. But it is too weird for children. Some reviewers here said it gave them nightmares. I can see why. I knew this was a classic, and I like Gene Wilder, so I ordered it. It was a waste of time and money. I think this fantasy movie is too frightening and crazy for a child and might disturb them. There is violence. Willy Wonka is a crazy person.
Sure.
Yeah, well, I can't really disagree.
Yeah. This is from Leigh Patch of the Herald Sun in Australia. The casting of Gene Wilder in the title role is the key. There's a crazed yet knowing glint in his eye that suggests the world of corporate confectionery is more silly and sinister than we will ever know.
Yeah, what is it? Crazed yet knowing. It's pretty ominous.
He is an ominous sort.
So we have another review here by Rachel Bailey, who's from the publication Amazon Reviews, and she has included a lot of emojis. So I'll just try and say what they are as we go along. So we have three thumbs down, and then we got some text. I hate this stupid movie. It is crap. It is clear that Wonka is full-on villain. He's a child murderer. Those kids are all behaved, and they're only children. They don't deserve to die. I mean, really, there is no possible way that Augustus can breath in that pipe. I mean, really think about it. Augustus falls in Mixer and, okay, he's obviously dead. Oh, then there are three skulls. Ew, blood everywhere. Grossed out face, tongue out, hands praying, monkey over eyes, monkey hands over mouth, tongue out. Then Violet explodes. Ew, more blood. Just the tongue, then angry face, and then all. Then he says they all have ways to become blueberries. Who the heck are they? How did he know that?
Then oh, wow, that's a good question. Then I didn't even think of that.
Veruca falls to her death. She held that note way too long to get stuck. Then Mike TV shrinks to get shrunk to death. Then Willy Wonka tells her, while swinging the bag around, that young boys are stretchy. Again, how the heck would he know but without doing it on a little boy before?
That's actually a lot of good questions.
He couldn't have done it on one of the Oompa Loompas, so he must have stole a little boy to stretch him until he ripped him in half. Oh, I almost forgot. Willy Wonka doesn't give a crap about those kids. Again, and sure, the kids are crappy, but they still don't deserve to die.
Wow, that was a lot.
There's a lot in there.
Yeah, this is an equally dense review from Rich Fiffin of Sky Cinema. The movie continues to remain timeless in spite of itself.
Sure. Right. Yeah. All right. Okay. This is the last review. It's from CJ, an Amazon reviewer. Creepy Creep makes candy with slave workforce. I can't.
Sure.
Yeah, that all happens. Clean, let's go to our next segment of this podcast.
Let's do it.
It's called Favorite / Least Favorite Part, where we discuss the things that we liked the most and least.
Can I say, so I was thinking a lot about my least favorite part.
Yeah.
And like, there are some things that kind of make me mad or confused.
What makes you mad?
Well, so like Grandpa Joe. Like Sam said, it's a thing that people don't like him. It's a fun, hot internet take. And like, now rewatching this movie, he's even worse than I remember. Like, he is the worst. But it doesn't like take away my enjoyment of the film. I kind of like him as this weird secret antagonist. So that's not really my least favorite part.
What's your least favorite part?
So I don't love the mom's song. Kind of stops the movie dead a bit. Because I think otherwise it's actually a pretty well-paced movie for a kid's musical. Also the Oompa Loompas. And it's not, I don't even have a problem with the slavery bit. I mean, I don't love it.
Yeah.
But you and I were talking about this a little bit, how it feels like they were making this creepy, weird movie. And they're like, but it has to have a lesson for the children. So they sort of, the songs feel shoehorned, like, Oompa, don't chew gum. It's like, what?
Can I say, those songs are very much in the book. I mean, the lessons and everything. Yeah, and they sing songs, but the songs are way, way different. They're like 1,000 times longer with a lot more lyrics.
Okay, then I guess I'm wrong, but I don't know. It felt... I don't know. Like, what else would you do? And I do kind of like the Oompa.
That song's great.
So I don't even know if I really do dislike it. So I think it's kind of hard to think of something I truly don't like about this film.
I have something.
What about you?
Are you ready for this?
I'm excited.
You know what? Actually kind of fucking pisses me off. And because the movie does this a lot.
Yes, I'm so excited.
They fucking try and rhyme da with far like 40 times in the movie. I'm like, guys, I'm not an idiot. I'm like, I know what you're doing. And
can you give me an example?
Oompa doopa dee da. If you do this, then you will go far. It's like that didn't rhyme at all.
Maybe if you have a British accent.
No, stop. You're on my side or on their side? It doesn't work. No. Cut that out. Bad.
Okay, fair.
Charlie's mom's song is the worst part of the movie, easily. I mean, it's just so boring. It's a weird song. I like the music a lot, but that song, it's like you hear the whole song and you're like, okay, try to sing one bit. And there's like, cheer up, Charlie.
But it's like, what is that song even about? Okay, actually, no, let's get into this.
Before you go, I just weird. My point was, it's just hard. It's weird how much you can't even remember the song. Like, I can barely, the melody is so all over the place and weird. It's like, it almost sounds like a good song, but it's like an anti-earworm. Anyway, go ahead.
Because, so sometimes you and I review musicals and we do like, what's our favorite song, least favorite song? But like, this is such an uneven soundtrack because obviously Pure Imagination is the best. Yeah, it is the banger of it. And then there's like, and then the Candyman and Oompa Loompa, like it's catchy.
Golden Ticket, it's catchy. Yeah, it's good.
Golden Ticket. Yeah. But like, again, Pure Imagination. Obviously. Far and away the best song. What was I going to say?
Is that your favorite? What's your favorite?
Oh, wait. No. My point was like, cheer up, Charlie. Like, I didn't really get what it was about so much. Like, oh, it's sad that he's poor and I wish it was how it used to be. I don't know. But so the other reason I think Pure Imagination is so good, other than just being a good song, is I think it captures the essence of the movie so perfectly. Like, it's a fun melody and it's about creating worlds and thinking outside of things. But it's also creepy and a little sinister. It's so perfect.
It's a little bit creepy. I think the melody of it is really sweet and warm and nice. And I think
that minor key, ding, ding, ding.
It's got that, it's opening and closing. Here's the thing, though. I think the warmth that it has brings such a necessary ingredient to the film because it's such a cold, weird. I think that too of Golden Ticket and Candyman. Like, if you don't have those songs, the movie feels a lot more bitter and just like, what is this?
Not like a child's movie.
Well, I think those songs are like, actually, if you take out the songs, it's weird. You would miss them too much with the Johnny Depp. You see that. It's like, oh, this is like just bad and creepy and bizarre.
Correct. What's your favorite part of the film?
Well, that's actually why Pure Imagination like is so good. Like, I really, really like that song, but it also really holds the movie together. So I think it might be my favorite, but I also love all the little jokes at the beginning with all the little scenes. We'll talk about it later of all the scenes.
I wrote
of them.
The jokes too, because I guess I wrote the jokes because I was so surprised at how funny it was. I laughed out loud more at this than I have probably in a while to a movie.
Yeah. Can you talk about what I'm seeing your favorite part is? The teacher?
Yeah. Oh, the minor character of the teacher was so funny. Well, we'll talk about his bits later, but they're
Okay.
I mean, he has two scenes, I think.
Yeah.
And he steals the show.
Oh.
My other favorite part, though, is Gene Wilder and his performance, because it's so unique. And it makes the movie.
Yeah. What? Tell us more.
Well, I think it's really understated and weird in a way that's off-putting, but in a way that's interesting. And he's also very funny. He's loony, but in a way that you also believe he could still run a candy empire, yeah. Which is very important to me.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's it.
I'll say I read the book, and the movie does have changes, but from my perspective, like 99% of the things in the movie are either directly from the book, or you could see like, okay, it's different, but I got why they got there. Like, I understand really? Why they made that change.
So I had heard that the Johnny Depp one was a more faithful adaptation.
I mean, well, there's stuff like the scene with all the geese. There are squirrels in the book. And oh, she's yeah, a they... bad nut instead of a bad egg. And there's stuff like the Oompa Loompas rowing the boat. There's supposed to be like 100 Oompa Loompas rowing the boat. Yeah, I mean, there's stuff like that where you're like, okay, I get why they changed it.
Sure. They actually had to change it for budget purposes. They couldn't afford to do the squirrel scene, so they did the geese. So
right.
It was more for that reason.
Right, that's what I would assume. Yeah.
Sure.
I was just going to say, the one single element of the movie where it's like, not at all in the book, and I don't even know how they got it, was the teacher. There's no paragraph in the book where like, and then Charlie was at school and a teacher said this. There's never any mention of the teacher. And the teacher is so funny.
Good change.
Yeah, great addition.
Do they do that weird documentary style news stuff?
There like, is a paragraph in like, and the whole world wanted chocolate desperately, and there was this occasion and this occasion, but the occasions they say are not exactly like the little vignettes we see,
because those are the best.
Those are the best. Yeah.
Can I say vignettes were also my favorite part?
Yeah, that's the first half of this movie is easily my favorite part, besides even though Gene Wilder is the whole second half, I like the first half better.
Yeah. Yes. I can't. It's not really about the fun adventures in the chocolate factory, but it's so fun.
It's yeah.
All right. Let's go to our intern summary of the film Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. I'll start.
All right.
So the film opens with some B-roll of chocolate being made, which I remember Sam saying, wow, that looks unappetizing, but I wanted chocolate immediately. So agree to disagree, Samantha Norman.
There's something Sorry. Just appetizing about the word chocolate. I hear it and I want some. And I don't even like chocolate.
I don't like chocolate that much. I mean, I like candy. I like
But chocolate. I want some right now. Just talking yes. about it.
So the film opens with a bunch of kids getting out of school and then they go get some candy. And then... So there's the Candyman song, which I think is a delightful song.
Yeah, it's nice.
Who can make the sunrise? Very cute.
Yeah.
Is that candy guy famous? Because like, why couldn't they get somebody who could sing?
They actually wanted to get Sammy Davis Jr. And he wanted to do it. But they thought it would be too cliche or something. Like, I don't remember the word they used, but for some reason... They decided against using him, but because he would
when
record.
He goes out in the sun. He doesn't tan. Is that why?
But then he would record it, and it would be his first Grammy nomination or Grammy win.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's like the song he's most known for.
That would have been 8 million times better. Before we were recording, Sam was like, "The Candyman guy was so creepy," and I think he was in ways that aren't really his fault. You know. Some actors are just, because the way they look and because of their usual acting choices, are just creepier than other characters. Like, okay, if Tom Hanks is a confectioner and he's like patting kids on the head and inviting them in the back room to get all the fun candy, you're like, this is sweet. If Nicolas Cage is doing the same role, you're like, why is he doing that to those children? So I feel like the Candyman has more of a Nicolas Cage vibe in his acting choices. Like he leers a bit and he's just like, who can make the sunrise? Oh, and I'm just like, yeah. I feel bad saying this because I don't think he was trying to do that.
I was not that creeped out. I think I was fine.
You weren't creeped out that the children disappeared?
No, I'm not counting the fucking children. There's kids and then there's not kids. I don't care. It's a movie.
And Sam, I'm saying if Tom Hanks is a confectioner, you wouldn't have even noticed.
But he wasn't, and the kids get invited behind the counter, and then they disappear. That's weird.
They got free candy. What is it? It's not free.
Yeah, he is just like throwing candy at them. And then we cut to like Charlie, who's on his paper route, and he looks forlornly through the window.
What a cute kid.
He could have candy. But it's like, it feels like the candy man's just throwing out candy, so he could probably just
Sneak in there.
Right.
Get a mustache.
Charlie, just to be clear, he's got no money. He's got no candy. He is sad.
He's so sad. Imagine a kid with no candy. It's so sad.
Oh, so sad. Also, the town he lives in, which is apparently in Munich, which seems like not a great place to film. Like,
why? I thought it looked nice.
Oh, it looked beautiful. I just mean because like historic places are hard to film in. Like, it's a beautiful old town.
Why? I don't get your point.
I just said it would be expensive to get.
Oh, expensive.
A very lovely sure. European city.
Go to a field.
Right. Although that dated it a bit, that Augustus Gloop was from West Germany. Anyway, sorry, I'm all over the place. Charlie lives in whatever town in whatever country.
It's supposed England, probably, right?
Probably. Where the Wonka factory is. And then there's this creepy guy outside who's like, nobody comes in and nobody comes out.
He's selling knives for some reason. What is this fucking knife salesman? That guy's not creepy. We have to talk about the candy man. The knife guy doesn't even get out candy.
That guy was only creepy to one child.
That's true. It's creepiness to child ratio. All right. Let's meet the family. Freeloading assholes, a.k.a. George, Georgina, Joan, Josephine. Grandparents bedridden for 20 years.
Is that their names in the book?
Yes. In the books, they're also all over 90. So that makes somewhat sense. Although Joe looks like he's, I don't know, 55.
Bedridden since your, 70s. Maybe that was older back in the day, I guess.
It's old now.
You're not bedridden when you're 70, usually.
I feel
our
like.
Parents are almost 70.
Yeah. Charlie brought home bread home with his pay because he's such a sweet kid. There's also his father's in the picture in the book.
Yeah. He also is in the Johnny Depp one.
Oh, weird.
He makes toothpaste.
Oh, yeah. Caps. That's what he does in the book. Also enabling Grandpa Joe's unaffordable tobacco habit. What a sweet kid. Joe explains that Willy Wonka closed his factory to the world due to the candy people, due to Coco Incognito stealing his secrets, especially Slugworth. Reopened 3 years later, but no one knows how.
So the nobody goes in or out thing makes no sense to me because that's a huge shipping detail. So, because he's an international candy guy, right?
So, how far are we going to go down this list before we're going to throw logic out the window? He's a magic factory.
Right. Yeah. There is a line in the movie like, oh, you're going to get the health inspectors in here. I'm like, yeah, man.
Yeah, I was thinking that.
Someone said it.
When they go to the chocolate, I thought for maybe 4 seconds. I'm like, why doesn't this exist in the real world? Like, oh, because that could never exist.
Ever. All right. So the contest. We meet the teacher, like my favorite character. He starts. I'm not going to do his lines.
You have to do the lines.
Because first he's like making Charlie make water with chemicals. And he's like, do you know what we do now? Or do you know what that makes? He's like, no. Well, no, you wouldn't know because I'm the teacher. And if a student were to teach the teacher, that would be presumptuous. So then we hear like kids running down the hall. And he's like, what's going on? Like, Wonka's giving away chocolate. He's letting people in. He's like, class dismissed. It's like, no. He's only giving away to 5 ticket holders. Class undismissed. But you can find the golden tickets in the chocolate bars. Class redismissed.
He's British, so this is very funny.
It's way funnier in a British accent.
Because he's got a British accent.
I think he has a very Eric Idle-like appearance and delivery.
Yeah.
I almost thought he was Eric Idle for a second. So yeah, so anyone who finds a golden ticket in one of these chocolate bars get a lifetime supply of chocolate and they get a factory tour. Grandpa Joe's like, Charlie, you got as good a chance as anybody. You're definitely
you're gonna 100%
going to get one.
What's this called? Lottery? Yeah, you'll win.
Yeah. I mean, 1 in a million. So is the next guy. Great.
Yeah, you're one.
Cut to this really earnest psychiatrist scene where he's like, I'm having the dreams again.
These are separate characters. This is a whole separate vignette.
Yes. So sorry. Thank you. First vignette of strangers where, the patient is like, You know, I'm having these dreams that feel so real. It's like, no, no, they're delusions. But an archangel came to me and showed me where the Wonka bar with the golden ticket was. It's like, where was it?
Well, it's just fantasy. Sir, you must tell me now.
Very funny.
Anyway. All right. So first we meet Augustus Gloop from Dusseldorf, who eats a lot. But, I mean, you would think that they would get a guy who's like real big, but he's not that big.
No, he's just like a cute, chubby little kid.
He's just a kid. But, like, calm down. In the book, the grandpa, like, all the grandparents are, like, looking at the newspaper, and they're judging the shit out of every kid. Like, oh, that kid's so fat. He sucks. Like, they're so mean.
Or, that's like, how you used to talk about kids back in the day.
Or, like, oh, that girl chews gum. Oh, she sucks. Like, she's just gum. Like, calm down.
Do you feel like he's from Dusseldorf because that's the silliest name?
If I was in Germany, I would be from Dusseldorf. It's the best one. I mean, what other towns are there? There's Dusseldorf.
I think that's it.
There's Munich.
I remember in
John's
Springtime for Hitler.
Yeah.
They have a line about Dusseldorf.
Do we not literally know?
Dusseldorf, and that is why they call me Rolf.
Are we seriously only able to name two places in Germany?
Frankfurt. And Berlin. And there's others.
You see, you're okay. So it's 2v2. I feel like I got two, and you got two.
We got plenty. We did it.
We tied. Where are we at? It's Charlie's birthday. He gets a Wonka bar. He's so excited because he might get the golden ticket. He starts to open it up. Oh, yeah. He does a little joke. He, like, turns his back to the grandparents. He opens the ticket. He's like, oh, I got the ticket. And he turns around. He's like, I was joking.
Here's what he says in the saddest voice. You sure believe me, didn't you? Like, Jesus.
Okay, and then we get news reports about the Wonka craze.
No. You missed one, buddy.
Oh, sorry. We meet Veruca Salt at her dad's factory. The workers are furiously unwrapping the chocolate bars. And one of the workers finds a chocolate bar, and Veruca gets it.
I have a weird opinion. I do not like kid actors usually. And I think that if they were casting kids to be whiny brats, they should be super annoying. I love Veruca Salt.
Yeah, it's no wonder she's the only actress.
Yeah, I actually also kind of liked Violet as
Yeah,
well.
Violet's pretty good.
I think the boys were kind of the duds.
Dud boys. My TV is
Teddy, right. You never give me anything I want.
Yeah, Veruca's the star for sure. news reports on the Wonka craze. Did you want to say anything about Veruca's mom? Because she had kind of a funny line, but I forget what it was.
Oh, yeah. So the dad's just like, you know, I'm doing everything I can. It's like, happiness is what matters, children.
It's very
happiness
fun.
And harmony.
news reports on the Wonka craze. There's another little vignette. A guy has invented a supercomputer that will tell him where the Wonka bars are. And he's like, "What computer? Tell me where all of the Wonka bars are." He gets a little printout. He goes, "I can't. That would be cheating." And then, do you remember the other bits?
I do. So, by the way, every time he's talking to the computer, he says, "I'm telling the computer," and he's just pressing two buttons over and over. "I'm telling the computer that if he tells me where the golden ticket is, I will share my prize with him." And then he goes, "What would a computer do with a lifetime supply of chocolate? I am now telling the computer exactly what he could do with a lifetime supply of chocolate." It's very funny.
Then we meet Violet Beauregard, who has the best last name.
Oh, yeah.
I want my name to be Beauregard. That's the fucking, ugh. And her big thing, man, this sucks. You ready? She chews gum.
I mean, she's also just kind of obnoxious, isn't that?
Yeah.
Isn't that the bad thing?
She really should have been killed for that reason. But no, it's the gum that people are so upset about.
I like how she's such a bitch to her best friend on TV. That's my favorite.
That's in the book, too.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What's her friend's name? I already forget, but it's pretty funny. Hi, sweetie. I guess I beat you. I'm just like, it's awesome.
Yeah, she sold that. Charlie visits his mom at the sad washing place where she works. She tries to instill realistic ticket expectations, which is good. She should do, I think.
Right. She goes, well, first of all, she goes, there are 100 billion people looking for this. And I'm like, no, not right.
I mean, you know, it's really, they're dumb. You know, they're uneducated. Right. The movie just stops dead with her song that you could somehow barely remember. But like, it sounds like it could be a good song when you're listening to it. Like the notes are there. You know, you just like, you got to just shuffle around the timing and the notes. It's like almost a good song, I feel like, but it's
doesn't
not
really forward anything.
I mean, it doesn't have to forward anything
that's
to be
true.
A good
that's
song.
True.
It could be just a good song, but it's not. Then we meet Mike TV. Also love his last name. It's no Beauregard, but it's kind of a cool name.
Don't you think it's a little lazy that the kid who watches too much TV is Mike TV?
No, I mean, because I just like the kind of children's book aesthetic of people's having names like this. Like,
okay, fair enough.
Like, just it's the silly nature of it.
I did forget to mention that the actor who played Mike TV did end up on TV.
But I thought they didn't act.
He was a contestant on Jeopardy.
That's very fun. That's
and he didn't like say that he was Mike TV as a kid. He said he was an avid backpacker.
Sorry.
It was people finding it online.
Like the one little bit of things that contestants do on Jeopardy is reveal a fact about themselves. Are you telling
but
me
it's
that
it's always boring facts? Like, I mean, yeah, Alex goes over and is like, so Julie has an interesting story about an owl. Like that's, you can't be too interesting.
Yeah, I guess not.
That's the rule.
So yeah, my TV. Oh, listen to the bastard this guy is. He watches a lot of TV. And the dad has questionable ideas about gun ownership, which is funny.
Yeah, I don't know if that aged well because I think 12-year-olds can own guns.
In America, more news footage with one ticket to go. You must not be bitter. There are many.
Oh, this is what the newscaster says.
Must not be bitter. There are many, many more important things. I can't think of what they are just now. Grandpa Joe uses that tobacco money to buy another bar, but there's no ticket.
Yeah, I think you said this, so I'm stealing this from you, that Charlie is such a nothing character, but he is sweet.
And he's like, got a cute face.
He's got a cute face. Yeah, they don't have a ticket in that. And he goes, I bet the ticket makes the chocolate taste awful.
Like, aww,
Charlie.
Charlie. Love
but then
you.
You're like, I'm glad he doesn't take up a lot of time when we're there interesting
no,
people on
No, he's not interesting. There's no character there. Right. There's not like a growth or an arc. You know, he's just a cute kid and that's fine.
So then we cut to some more fun vignettes. One where a British auction house is selling off a box of Wonka bars. And he goes, you know, $1,200 to the gentleman. Your Majesty. Which, by the way, I watched this movie twice. It comes back at the end when Willy Wonka goes, oh, the queen wrote me. I'll have to get back to her.
Yeah.
Didn't know that one.
Yep.
And then there's another cut to a scene.
Best one.
Best one. And it takes up some time where it's like a real setup into a kidnapping ransom scene. And it's been 12 hours and I don't know where my husband is. All I want is to have my Harold back. What could they want? And then, so he finally gets the call. They want your case of Wonka bars. Long ass pause. Did you hear me? It's your husband's life or the Wonka bars. How long will they give me to think it over? What is this movie?
It was played very seriously.
That was great.
That's my favorite part of the whole film.
Oh, hands down.
Yeah.
But anyway, contest is over. Oh, by the way, we haven't even talked about how great the absurdity of this plot device is. That people like to get an unlimited supply of chocolate and a factory tour has like set the world ablaze.
It's
like everybody wants
it. It's this. Very, very fun. It's very
like
fun.
People don't know that the factory tour is a magical, you know, forest of wonderment. They don't know that. They think it's just a factory.
It's like weird because this film. It is the way it's shot. It is kind of shot like a documentary where it's like if you read this in a children's book. Oh, and the world looked desperately for the chocolate bars. It's like, sure. But when you show it this seriously, it's like so funny.
It's really good.
The contest
is over because a millionaire in Paraguay has found the ticket, which they show a newscaster say like, someone in Paraguay has found it. And he has a really thick accent. It's like, why wouldn't they just speak Spanish in Paraguay? It's fine. So Charlie's really sad because he's not going to get a ticket. And his fucking asshole grandpa got his hopes up.
Yeah, what an asshole.
So got to this great scene with the teacher where he does this long bit. It's like, all right, so I know we've always done the quiz on Friday and we do the quiz on Friday to get all the things of the week. But now we're going to do it on Monday before I've taught you anything at all. Anyway, it's Tuesday and none of that matters.
But then he goes in. Can I just say when he does the division bit? Yeah, he's like, all right, now we'll do division. And we'll be, let's see, an example would be.
It's percentages.
Oh, yeah, sorry. Percentages. So say we have 1,000. And now we'll do 100 over 1,000. Well, that's 1%. That's 10%. 200, that's 20%. Like, just the worst lesson. And then he goes to the kids, okay, so let's say, how many Wonka bars did you buy? 200? Well, that's 20%. Charlie, how many did you get? 2. 200, that's. No, just 2. Well, I can't do just 2.
That's impossible.
It's funny.
That's very funny. So Charlie's sad and he's walking home, and in the gutter, he finds a coin and decides to buy some candy. And then at the end, he's like, you know, I'll buy one more. I'll buy a Wonka bar for Grandpa Joe, because the confectionery doesn't have to hide him anymore. Contest is over. But Michael, that last ticket was a fraud.
Can I just say, this is so funny. So in the film, you just said this, but I'll say it again. He buys a chocolate bar and he's like, this is for me. I'm going to eat it. And he eats it. I don't know if he eats the first one, but he has one. But he's like, I got to get one more for my Grandpa Joe. And because he's nice, because he did that nice, generous thing, he got one more bar. And that just so happened to be the ticket one. In the book.
That's cute, actually.
Yeah, it is thoughtful, and it's like, oh, that's smart that they did it that way. But in the book, he's just like, he buys one, and he's like, I'll buy another one. And then he just has it. It's like, there's no mention of why he got the second one. He just disced it, too. The movie's like, the book, I think he forgot why he does that.
So, anyway, Charlie finds the ticket. There's a whole crowd of people to see him do it, and they're all excited. And then there's a guy who, like, had one line in this movie, and he did it. Run home, Charlie! Run straight home, and don't stop till you get there!
That would be us, too, if we had one line.
Oh, hell yeah. I would be like, working on that every day for a week.
I would tell everybody I know, like, I got this line, you're gonna listen to me say it. All right. We're off to the... Wait. Where are we at? Highlight where we're at. Off to the factory. Before he gets home, Charlie is met by Slugworth, who we've seen actually in every with Augustus Gloop, with Veruca, with Violet. We've seen Slugworth, which is this evil man with a scarred face, kind of go up and like say something to her. And so when Charlie gets the ticket, Slugworth also comes up to him and says that if you get an everlasting gobstopper, give it to me and I'll give you a bunch of money. So,
yeah, I mean, that makes no sense, because he's like, if Wonka has this everlasting gobstopper, I'll be ruined.
This is also a complete movie edition.
Oh, I like that.
And I think it's because the ending of the book is just so lame. Like, nothing happens. So they just wanted a thing to happen at the end. That's why it like makes sense why they added this. Yeah.
So, yeah, he's like, we'll be ruined because, like, I guess they can't sell jawbreakers anymore. But if Slugworth steals it, they'll still sell them, right?
Yeah, like, well, his evil scheme is that Wonka won't have the monopoly.
Sure, but then if all he needs is to get one, just wait for Wonka to release them.
Oh, that's a good point.
Also release them.
Right, it's like Plankton, just buy a Krabby Patty. Like, dude, like, what are you doing? They're for sale, man. All right, here we go.
He tries to with robots.
Just like get a person.
Yes, that would make more sense.
They don't do background checks, man.
I mean, if they deliver pizza from the Krabby Patty, they should deliver.
Right,
well.
And he's right across the street. It should be so easy. Joe is suddenly, and I mean, they've got to have a lot of turnaround with employers, but whatever. Joe is suddenly better and ready. Oh, yeah. So when Charlie says, I've got a golden ticket, Joe says, whoa, I can now suddenly go and I am not bedridden.
Yeah. Which, okay. Like, again, everybody's aware that he's a dick for doing that. But my favorite watching this time was Charlie just says to him, oh, I wish you could go with me. And he's like, good luck.
Wish granted.
Yeah, I'm here for you, buddy. Which it's like, you should definitely bring your mom, you ungrateful. I mean, it's not Charlie's fault, because Charlie was just saying a polite thing.
What's weird, then, in the book, the ticket explicitly says you can bring one or two people. And he's like, I'll bring Joe. And that's it. It's like, dude, you have a mom you have a mom and a dad. But whatever.
Oh, wow. That's so rude.
I think the dad was working. Doesn't matter.
And then, you know, I've got a golden ticket.
And the song is good. I mean,
it slaps.
There's a lot of bits. There's like the verse. Like, I can't even remember the verse. Do you remember the verse of the song? I feel like here's how I feel like the verse goes. Because I've got a golden ticket. Right. I just know that part. But that was a guess. All right. So Joe's all ready to go. He sings I've Got a Golden Ticket, which we're like, why is he singing that? He doesn't have the golden ticket. And then we hear Charlie sing one note and we're like, okay, I guess I get why he sung the song. Because Charlie cannot sing at all. All right. Here we are. We're finally at the factory. Our five winners are all lined up. And we see Gene Wilder, who does this bit, as discussed already, where he is sort of limping. He's got the cane. But then he turns that into a roll and stands up and everyone applauds. Which is, right. Why? I still don't get it.
I don't know.
I mean, I get whatever. Gene Wilder had the whole explanation, but like, it was weird.
All right, so we have so much time and so little to see. Scratch that, reverse it. Very cute.
Very cute.
So they get in and they're like, before we go to the factory, you got to sign this liability form. And the whole, so it's, you know, it's very comical. It takes up a whole wall and it descends into tiny, unreadable script. But the very top of the contract says, we're not responsible for loss of life or limb. So it's like, what the fuck is in that small print?
Also a movie invention, the whole contract.
Right. Oh, I like that as well.
Yeah.
And then Mike TV's mom says, I assume there's an accident indemnity clause. And Willie goes, never between friends, which is a funny line.
It's good.
So now we come onto the factory floor. And you had a fact about this, Michael. Do you want to tell the folks at home?
Oh, sure. My fun fact is that when we see this magnificent chocolate room, when the, all the characters come and see this magical place for the first time, this is the first time the actors playing those characters actually saw the set, which is kind of cool.
That's very cool. Oh, and yeah, the way they go in is very cute, where they go in this tiny room, but then they go back out the door they came in. And that's when Veruca's dad, well, is this some kind of fun house? Because that's his accent. And he goes, why? Are you having fun? So.
That's
the
a
chocolate
good,
room.
That's a good song, man. I really like that song.
I think it's delightful. I think they just do a really nice job with that set. I mean, it looks cheesy and dated, but I remember seeing that as a kid. Like, I want to be there. I want to eat a fucking tree. I want to eat a giant gummy bear.
But also, the song is good. Have you,
Mikey? Do you have a favorite candy?
In real life, it used to be Snickers by a long shot, but I think because of my new love of peanut butter, I think it's Reese's.
If I had to, what's your favorite non-chocolate candy? Because that's what was really dominating the floor of the not of the chocolate room.
My first thought was Gushers.
Fuck yeah, Gushers. I'm a gummy gal. I'm gummies all the way.
Oh yeah. Actually,
worms,
probably
gummy
me
bears.
Too. But a Gusher is a gummy with just a little
it is
with a little
so
extra. Yeah.
Little punch.
Yeah,
little kick.
Little punch, yeah. You know what? I actually really like Smarties, too.
Ew, no, you don't. Really?
You don't like Smarties? I genuinely like Smarties.
You're like, oh, I want chalk that kind of has a flavor? Delicious.
Actually, yeah.
Oh, I mean, fair.
Because I'm a Smartie.
Ah, you are a Smartie.
Yeah.
So anyway, they sing the great song, Pure Imagination. Gene Wilder convincingly eats wax. Then he shows off his chocolate river. It's the only chocolate in the world mixed by waterfall and prepared by orange slaves that he saved from a place of fierce beasts, including vermicious canids, which I'll just remember forever because I think it's a fun Seussian term. So that Augustus is eating out the river. And this is such a weird, I think it was filmed kind of weird because he's like mad Wonka. He's like, you know, my chocolate can't be touched by human hands. And then he goes up to him. And it looks like he kind of pushes him into the water.
There's that. But also, like, Wonka said, eat anything. And it's like, buddy, mention the river.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I would be a gloop in that situation. I want to taste some of that chocolate river.
That's the first thing I would do. Absolutely.
Yeah. And then she goes, he can't swim. No better time to learn. And then the suspense is terrible. I hope it'll last. A lot of great lines.
Here's another thing about the book. Wonka is always like, oh no, the children are in danger. Like every time. Whereas in this movie, Gene Wilder's weirdly like, Oh, no, I guess the children are in danger.
I'm kind of into that.
I know. It's one of my favorite parts of the movie.
Murder.
And then she goes, oh, so he gets sucked up into a pipe, which is actually pretty horrifying. And he gets shot out of it. And the mom goes, oh, no, he'll be made into marshmallow. That's my great accent. I guess it's like a Melania Trump, but it's fine. Yeah. And he's like, that's unthinkable. That's absurd, madam. That pipe doesn't go to the marshmallow room. It goes to the fudge room. So then we go to the Oompa Loompa song. Oh, yeah. And she was like, yeah, it'll go to the boiler. But we'll probably, we probably haven't lit it yet. It's fine. Maybe.
Can I say this?
Yeah.
I like the Oompa Loompa songs. They're just so, yeah, I just like that melody. It's fine. It's a catchy melody.
It's catchy. Yeah, that's why I feel bad about saying it was my least favorite part. Because it's fine. It's just, the morals are dumb. Or maybe I feel judged because I eat too much and watch too much TV. So, like, fuck off.
Yeah, I don't know. I want to, so the songs are really, really elaborate and long in the book. I want to read one of them, but I'll save it. I don't want to read that one.
Okay, I'm excited.
Yeah. I'll just say, I'm not going to read Violets, but that's the most fucked up one. Because they talk about another woman who chewed and chewed, and she bit her tongue in two. Ah! That's how that ends.
Why is chewing gum bad? Is that like an old timey thing?
That's that, like a 70s.
That's what trashy girls do.
It's a 70s thing, I guess. Chewing gum is bad.
Huh.
All right. Where are we at? Creepy boat?
Mm-hmm.
All right. So a boat appears, a magical great boat, and they're all impressed by the boat. And they go into a tunnel. All the lights turn out.
I love the setup, though, because it's this really, it's the pure imagination score as they're going through, you know, the chocolate forest, da, 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 and this beautiful boat. And then they get in the tunnel.
Also, I guess this is the theme of the podcast, so I'll just keep talking about the book. In the book, at this moment, Wonka looks at Charlie and goes, dude, you are like so skinny. Have some chocolate. And he like gets a mug out and like gets some chocolate out of the river and hands him. And then him and Charlie and Joe, they all have some chocolate together. Like that probably should have been in the movie.
Right. Yeah. I don't feel like there's any relationship.
There's no relationship at all with these characters who are our main characters.
Right.
Sorry. One more book anecdote. So when they get into the tunnel, here's the sequence of events in the book. They go into the tunnel and, you know, it's fine. It's magical, whatever. All of a sudden, the lights turn out. And then out of nowhere, Wonka just sings this whole song, which is in the movie where not a speck of light is showing. So the danger must be growing. Are the fires of hell aglowing? Is the grisly reaper mowing? And then he sings the whole song. It's a long song. And then everyone's like, he's crazy. He's wacko. He's blah, blah, blah. He's crazy. And then the lights turn on and they're just in the next room. So in the movie, it's basically that, except they're like, well, this is a movie. So we got to like do visuals. And the visuals that they went with were psychedelics. Because we're just, just past the 60s. So you got psychedelic imagery. And they're like, well, we got a green screen. So we got to have a live footage of an animal being beheaded.
Right. I mean, insects and close up of eyes and Jesus Christ. And Gene Wilder's face. Holy shit.
I'm just saying the movie, like, I want to give a credit. Like, that's what they had to do. That's what's in the book. You know, it's like.
I guess. Yeah, I remember because Sam and I were also people who'd watch this movie enough to remember this was a weird scene. So like, oh, they got that weird tunnel scene. But it's weirder than I remember. It's very trippy.
All right, so now we're at the secret invention room, including the everlasting gobstoppers.
I remember that from earlier.
Remember the Slugworth bribe, which the kids all get one. He does a lot of his zany antics. When he gives one to, I believe it's Veruca, he says, like, oh, this is only for you. And Veruca's like, okay. And then she crosses her fingers behind her back. That might be Violet.
No, it's Veruca. That's correct.
One of the lines that I've written down is butterscotch, butter gin. Candy is dandy, but liquor is quicker. It's fun.
He does a lot of clothes bits.
One thing I liked in the book. I just thought it was a purple coat. But it's a plum-colored cloak.
Mm.
which I think is fun.
There's a bit where he like puts a shoe in a vat of something. He's like, give it a kick. I mean, he does a lot of those kind of bits,
right? That's a fun
like,
bit. That's a fun bit.
You're like, he puts a coat in one because it's too cold.
There's a gum that's a whole meal, and Violet takes one, turns into a blueberry. Oompa Loompas lecture her on the immorality of gum chewing, because it's just a shitty thing to do is chew gum.
I can't imagine anything more joyless than chewing gum chewing something.
Yeah, I mean, of all the hobbies you can have.
One of my other favorite conceits of this film is that, like, so we give Willy Wonka a lot of shit for being a bit of a sociopath, but I feel like that's a consistent character thing. But I don't think any other people care about the kids dying or whatever.
I mean, the parents of their own children always care.
Right. But then they can just move on and it's fine. Like, yeah. Nobody cares.
Again, and I don't know if we've really paid homage to the fact that this movie is fucking weird in the sense that it is about the elimination of children. I said to Sam, this is basically a Friday the 13th for kids. Friday the 13th, if you don't know, is a spooky Halloween series about a group of campers who get eliminated one by one until there's one left. And that's the kind of situation we got going on here.
Well, and you could even argue that in Friday the 13th, they get like killed off by in order of their perceived morality.
Right. And then there's the one special one that lives. It's very odd.
Yeah. All right, so Violet gets taken out. Their next scene, they go to the lickable wallpaper, which is just a cute little scene. And he goes, you know, taste it. The strawberries taste like strawberries. The bananas taste like bananas. And there's this bit where he goes, the schnozberries taste like schnozberries. And Veruca goes, who ever heard of a schnozberry? And he grabs her face and intensely looks at her and goes, we are the music makers. We are the dreamers of dreams. And let's go. And just goes on. I'm like, what the fuck was that?
Fucking great. Oh, another Wonka bit that we missed over is when he sings Pure Imagination, there's a part where they're walking down the stairs and he just gingerly tuffles Mike TV's hair. But then he does it for like too long.
Yes.
And then like while singing, he like picks a little prick out of his hair and like releases it into the ether. And I'm like, what is that sequence of events? Why did you do any of that?
That was a weird character choice.
Yeah.
It was like, does he like children? I don't know. Whatever. It's fine. Okay. So then we go into the room where with the fizzy lifting drink. Joe continues to be the worst human. I mean, consistent character choice.
Consistent.
So it's fine.
Yeah. They thought that through.
He's like, come on, Charlie, drink it with me. Which, what the fuck did they think was going to happen? Because they seem very surprised and inconvenienced by the thing happening that Wonka said was going to happen, which is they get lifted into the air. Because even Wonka even said, it's too powerful. So they fly up in the air and they almost get killed by a fan in the ceiling, but then they burp and they're fine. So great.
Slightly
that
different.
That also wasn't too long.
Slightly. It's in the book. They go by the fizzy lifting drink room. And they're like, what's that? And Wonka goes, oh, that's the fizzy lifting drink room. I had one of my Oompa Loompas tested out. He went into the sky and I never saw him again. And then they go to the next room.
Oh, yeah, because I guess they don't need this bit in the book because of they don't have the Slugworth thing.
Yeah, they don't have the Slugworth. Yeah, it's not a twist ending like that.
Right. So then they get to the Golden Goose room and Veruca gets her swan song. Do you like that?
love it man, it's great.
And then she like dies in a furnace, but anyway.
Do you like the song?
I kind of do.
I can't even sing one bit of the song.
I want it now, I want the whole world.
Yeah, so it's the bit.
It's, I don't know, I like it. I also feel bad because my two-year-old also says that stuff a lot.
Like what?
I want to have that. I want that.
Well, I mean, she does want those things.
It's genuine.
It's, yeah, it's not ironic.
Yeah. And then her dad goes, well, this is a lot of nonsense. Yeah. A little nonsense now and then is relished by the wisest of men. Oh, fuck, yeah. So Veruca gets dropped into this egg thing, which, long walk for a bad egg joke, but I guess that's what they did in the book.
Yeah.
With Bad Nut. And then the dad goes in after her because, you know, he's a caring parent. And Joe, fucking asshole, goes, huh, Mr. Salt finally got what he wanted. Veruca went first.
as to imply that she died first. There's a whole bit through the movie where she always wanted to be first. Sorry, that's important.
I kind of like kids dying and like dead kid jokes. That's sort of because I'm not mature. So I think it's fine.
I remember that from Jurassic Park. That was the thing you hated the most.
That's true. That's pretty recent. That's not a revelation for me.
Right. And then Wonka goes, oh yeah, that goes to the furnace. But the furnace is only lit every other day. So they have a sporting chance.
That's great.
Which again, like, so he's a sociopath. So he says stuff like that. And the parents are just like, huh, wow, that's not great. And then they're fine with it.
Yeah. What's so funny is that they don't ever see the kids again. And they do in the Johnny Depp movie. There's like a shot where like, oh, all the kids are fine. And it's like, it's weird that they had to include, oh, you have to include, show that the kids are fine. They're not dead. But they also do that in the book. In the book, they're like, oh, and the kids were okay. But just not in this. This is the one version where they're like, we don't even have to show that. Who cares?
Who do you blame when your kid is a brat? Pampered and spoiled like a Siamese cat. I don't know why I remember that, because I thought that was weird. I don't know why Siamese cats are particularly spoiled.
Who is to blame? The mother and the father.
Ah, you remember too.
It's a fun... I actually like the Ubuntu.
Michael, when are you going to read me the weird-ass long thing?
For Mike TV. Are we at that
part?
Okay, so...
I was so sad when Veruca died, because then I'm like... Well, now all the interesting kids are gone.
Yeah, my TV is not that cool. So Bubble Car, one of the lines of dialogue here is, if the good Lord had intended for us to walk, he wouldn't have invented roller skates. So that's fun. So we get to Wonka Vision, which is a room with a TV or with a big video camera, like a giant video camera in the middle of the room. And it's all white and they're wearing white suits. And this TV can teleport chocolate from one place into another. I mean, if you could theoretically film a person and have a person go to a TV, why not chocolate?
But the chocolate, they make a big ass chocolate bar because things are smaller on TV. By the way, when Mike TV describes how TV works, where he goes to like, well, they take a picture somewhere and then they break it down to a million different particles and it goes over the air and then it rearranges itself on your television. I'm like, well, that's stupid. But I don't know anything better. Like, sure, I guess that's how TV works.
I think you got that slightly wrong. I think Wonka says that. And then Mike TV is like, that's not exactly how it works. And then they just keep going.
Oh, in the book he says that?
I thought that was in the movie.
No, in the movie, that's how Mike TV does it. And then Wonka says, that's exactly right. And that's how we want to do this, where we're going to break down the chocolate bar in a million little pieces and it'll appear on your television.
So, am I still right? Yeah, Mike TV is like, well, the inevitable thing is that maybe I should try to be teleported. Yeah, as like the chocolate just was. So he jumps in front of the video camera, pushes the button, it gets sent to a television, and then he's really small.
Yeah, that's it.
And Wonka says, we'll take him out to the stretcher room to stretch him out. And then the Oompa Loompas do the song about the TV, which is my least favorite Oompa Loompa song, because they really try to groove up that rhythm.
Yeah, also, fuck off, Oompa Loompas.
All right, here's...
Like, why don't you try reading a book? Like, I fucking love TV.
So I just want to read, maybe I'll read all of it. Maybe I'll just read some of it just because it's fun. Like, it's just like, this is really the book. So this is in the book. This is the Mike. This is the Oompa Loompa song for Mike TV. The most important thing we've learned so far as children are concerned is never, never, never let them near your television set. Or better still, just don't install that idiotic thing at all. In almost every house we've been, we've watched them gaping at the screen. They loll and slop and lounge about and stare until their eyes pop out. Last week in someone's place, we saw a dozen eyeballs on the floor. They sit and stare and stare and sit until they're hypnotized by it, until they're absolutely drunk with all the shocking, ghastly junk. Oh yes, we know it keeps them still. They don't climb out the windowsill. They never fight or kick or punch. They leave until you cook. They leave you free to cook the lunch and wash the dishes in the sink. But did you ever stop to think? To wonder just exactly what this does to your beloved tot? It rots the senses in the head. It kills imagination dead. It's in all caps. It clogs and clutters up the mind. It makes the child so dull and blind. He can no longer understand a fantasy, a fairyland. His brain becomes as soft as cheese. His powers of thinking rust and freeze. He cannot think. He only sees. All right, you'll cry. All right, you say. But if we take that set away, what shall we do to entertain our darling children? Please explain. We'll answer this by asking you, what used the darlings used to do? How used they keep themselves ourselves contended before this monster we've invented. Have you forgotten? Don't you know? We'll say it so loud and slow. They used to read. They'd read and read and read and read and then proceed to read some more. Great Scott, gazooks, of half their lives was reading books. And it just goes fucking on. The point, this is halfway through the song. So the point, I just want to say, the Oompa Loompa song in the movie is much better. It's like much catchier.
I love that they when they say that your books don't have commercial breaks.
Yeah. I mean, they looked
Wait
up.
Like, I introduced them to Netflix.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, but Kindle also, you got ads in there.
That's true.
Oh, I'm exhausted. I'm reading.
That was a lot.
Yeah. It's your turn.
All right. So now it's only Charlie left. So Wonka's like kind of seeing them out and he goes, he does say, he's like, yeah, the other kids will be fine. They'll be restored to their former terrible selves, which I think we're supposed to be reassured that they're fine. But the fact that we never see them, I like that we kind of doubt it. Maybe they're dead.
I love that we doubt it. Yeah, for sure.
And then he just says to them, I'm terribly busy. I just wasted the whole day. Bye. And then they're just kind of in the hallway like, what the fuck just happened? Joe's like, I'm going to find out because I don't care about rules. So he storms the office and we find out that Charlie does not get a lifetime supply of chocolate. You get nothing. You lose. Good day, sir.
It's a fun line for some reason. I love that line.
I just love his delivery.
Yeah, it's just him. Yeah.
Do you want to know a fun fact about that?
Yes.
I'd love one.
So it was really hard for Wilder at this point because he had developed such a close relationship with the young boy who played Charlie. So when he rehearsed the scene, he acted more disappointed. But then when they actually filmed, he yelled and it actually scared the kid and he felt so bad afterward. Aww. But really wanted to. The other fun fact is when they go into his office, originally they had just a plain office. And when they saw it, they're like, you can't go through Wonka's factory, this magical imaginary place, and then go into a plain office. So the director's like, just cut everything in half. And so they started cutting everything in half. According to one thing I read, one of the people doing it cut a coffee pot, but didn't realize it wasn't part of the props. It was the actual coffee that they had brought in. And like liquid started spilling everywhere.
Very funny. That's great. That is a very fun set. And then he has the magnifying glass and then he opens the safe. That's just half a safe so you could like easily access it.
That was a very good bit. So anyway, the reason Charlie lost out on his chocolate was because they drink the fizzy drink. And he's like, you know, you were not allowed to drink my stuff without my permission. And now we have to sanitize that whole room. And I think that seems fair.
It's in the contract.
Like, right. So Joe is pissed. And he's like, I will get my revenge. We're going to give Slugworth everything he wants. But Charlie's like, you know, I'm not a dick like you, Joe.
Yeah.
And he walks back and he gives the everlasting gobstopper. Stopper. And then Wonka, he just slowly puts his hand over the gobstopper and he goes, so shines a good deed in a weary world. Charlie, you've won! Turns out this whole Slugworth thing was a setup by him. Charlie won the whole factor because he's so kind. Also because he's a malleable child who won't have any opinions of his own, which is great. Also, kind of calls in question the whole idea of why the fuck did he do this ticket fucking contest to
Your fucking adult logic. It's fun.
Sorry. Anyway, then they take off into the sky in a glass elevator. And then, and then he says, well, you know, Charlie, what happened to the man who got everything he wanted?
He lived happily ever after.
Ah. Aww,
what? That doesn't make any sense, but oh. It's cute. Here's what's really cute. Our brother John, let's call him. In this segment, we call Bro Call.
Bring, 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 bring.
John, are you there?
Hey, what's going on?
Hey, John. We're talking about Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. Have you seen it? What do you think about it?
Yeah, I have seen it. It's too weird for me. That's just the bottom line.
Hey,
I don't actually really remember like the first half of the movie just because the second half is just so damn weird. Isn't there like a Space Odyssey bit in the movie?
There's a trippy tunnel.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Yeah.
Knowing me, I always have this visceral memory that the factory, the contest, everything about the Willy Wonka Enterprise makes no goddamn sense.
Yeah.
I mean, are there this global conglomerate in a self-contained factory? Where is their shipping?
They leave it. They leave all their chocolate out on the box, the gate.
What, and they just assume. What is their cash flow situation going on here? It's ridiculous. Yeah, so that always bothers me.
Wonka would not leave the factory to you. You're too much of an adult.
Yeah, that's entirely true. Because succession plan, that's a little ridiculous. Just throwing it out there. The characters, are any of them besides Gene Wilder memorable?
Veruca Salt is my girl.
Is she the whiny British character?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, I actually did remember her. And I kind of liked her, which is funny.
You're always making things difficult.
Because I literally thought to myself, isn't she the whiny one? And yet she's the one I liked out of all the characters.
She was so dynamic on screen.
Everyone else just bored me, annoyed me, or Oompa Loompas. Sure. And, yeah.
John, I wish you had watched it again because the first half is very funny.
And it's all filmed in Munich. You like Germany things?
I do like Germany. But here is my favorite part of the movie because I knew you guys would call me and I rewatched a few clips and then I got down a really, really deep, dark YouTube hole. Apparently, there is a very well-researched fan theory on this movie. Are you guys aware of the comic/movie/recent series Snowpiercer?
No.
I'm aware of it.
It's a dystopian post-apocalyptic thing where the remainder of humanity, the world is frozen.
Oh, the
and
Chris
the remainder
Evans
of
movie.
Humanity is aboard a train eating regurgitated humans and insects.
That's the Chris Evans movie, yeah.
Yeah, the Chris Evans movie. The fan theory is that it is a direct sequel to Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. And oh my god, I am convinced, and it is awesome. where Charlie is actually the Ed Harris, the bad big bad guy on the train in Wonka Piercer.
That's very fun.
Amazing. Gene Wilder is great, isn't he?
Yeah, he really is.
But he's just so damn unsettling in this movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, that seems like the point.
Yeah.
Yeah, he feels like everything in the movie revolves around him to the point that it blots out everything else in the movie.
He's not in half of the movie.
I know, right? And I can't even remember the first half because of him.
It's actually, the first half is actually better than the second half, if you can believe that.
Wow, I can't. So yeah. I'm going to give it a C+.
All right.
Fair enough. Thank you for joining me.
Yeah, thank you so much.
I'm totally gonna watch Snowpiercer right now.
All right, good luck. All right, Clint. Do you want me to grade first?
I'll grade.
Okay.
I gave it a solid B+. I really enjoyed it. I think it accomplishes what it wanted to, and then some. And I think it's amazing that a weird ass movie like this has stayed so much in our cultural consciousness, and it gets some points for that. So.
Here's the thing.
B+ almost seems low because I don't really dislike anything about it, but I don't love the movie.
It's so weird. Something I might have not have said is like, I like this movie, but it isn't a good story. There's not really good characters.
No.
But it is good. And I feel like what I ultimately, if I'm giving a criticism, so if I'm saying why don't I like this, it's because of the, you know, some things are like weirdness or why is there that creepy tunnel scene, but it's like I love it. I mean, for a movie, if that's all you got is like, not that they did a bad job, but just like, well, they took the book and the book was fucking weird, I don't know, like I like the oddness. I just like that this thing exists because it's so bizarre.
Totally.
And they did it, and they did an exceptional job. This is an exceptional adaptation. I read the book, and I'm like, man, the movie is 1,000 times better than this book because the music just helps it so much. Gene Wilder helps it so much. The sets were all really great. The music is not always good, but it's there. Sure. Here's my feeling. I'm going to give an A-.
Whoa.
Yeah. So there's that.
What are we doing next week? Oh, no, wait. Who are we sponsored by?
We're sponsored by Nestle Chocolate. I think they're like an evil company. I think they're like...
It doesn't say that on my copy here. It says they're the best company ever that have perfect ethics and have never done anything wrong.
I think they have a private army. Let me Google
what?
It. Hold on. Nestle Chocolate.
I heard that they they pushed a formula on people in Africa, like in starving African villages, and then it was tainted or something with bad water.
Dang.
And then they did some other shit with tainting water supplies. I don't know. Buy Nestle, guys. They make Wonka bars.
So what are we doing next week?
Let me go to our randomizer.
I don't think Nessachaga actually has their own private army. I don't know why I heard
what
that.
It did.
It'd be interesting.
We are doing Spotlight.
That's different than this movie, which is good.
It's not quite as fun. It's the good songs are not as cheerful.
Not as cheerful. You'd think it would be for a movie called Spotlight. I'm in the spotlight. You'd think it'd be like good.
You think. It's not like that.
Well, we'll see. We don't know. We'll find out next week.
All right. Stay tuned for that trailer.
And cut.
I know there's things you cannot tell me. But I also know there's a story here, and I think everybody will hear about it.
Do you think your paper has the resources to take that on?
I do. Do you?
The Boston priests molested kids in 6 different parishes over the last 30 years. The church found out about it and did nothing. We haven't committed any long-term investigative resources to the case.
No, we haven't.
And that's the kind of thing your team would do.
Spotlight? Guys, listen. Everybody's going to be interested in this.
Obviously, the church will fight us very hard.
Trying to get some background information.
I don't want you recording this in any way, shape, or form. Nothing.
We understand you've settled several cases against the church.
I can't discuss that.
There aren't any records of any of these settlements.
Nope.
When you're a poor kid from a poor family, and when a priest pays attention to you, it's a big deal. How do you say no to God?
Spotlight.
Just the tip line.
You think he's got something?
I want to keep digging.
We need to focus on the institution. Show me that it came from the top down.
Try to silence anyone who speaks out.
You leave me alone, you hear me, goddammit?
6% act out sexually.
6% is 90.
90 priests.
If there were 90 of these bastards, people would know.
Maybe they do.
You're going to give me the names and the names of their victims. Are you threatening me?
I was doing my job.
Yeah, you and everyone else.
I am here because I care. We're going to tell this story. We're going to tell it right. I
can't believe.
Hoping we can keep this between us until we all get on the same page.
Is that why we're here, to get on the same page? We've got two stories here. A story about degenerate clergy, and a story about a bunch of lawyers turning child abuse into a cottage industry. Which story do you want us to write? Because we're writing one of them.
I'm not crazy.
They control everything.
This is not just Boston. It's a whole country. It's a whole world.
They knew! Let it happen. It could have been you. It could have been me. It could have been any of us.